All right, everybody, thanks again for tuning in to KOVE 1330 AM 107.7 FM, Community Connected. You're listening to Coffee Time. I'm your host, Vince Tropea. And as I mentioned before the break, we're in studio today with the community officer for the Lore Foundation, one of our sponsors here at Coffee Time. They do a bunch of great things in the community in Lander, Fremont County. Amy's here to talk about a number of projects that the Lore Foundation was involved with last year, some stuff coming up, and then a lot of the work they do ranging from local schools to mental health themed exhibitions taking place at the Lander Art Center here in the coming weeks. You guys are always busy just being involved with the community. Before we talk about all of that, Amy, how are we doing this morning?
Doing pretty great, Vince. Thanks.
Appreciate you coming in today, as always. Coffee Time family at this point.
Yep.
Now, there's a lot of things going on upcoming for the Lore Foundation as you guys are kind of wrapping up this last stretch here. But you definitely wanted to talk about some of the success stories that you've seen on your end from the Lore Foundation. But before we dive into that, for any of our listeners who don't know, just kind of give us the background on what you guys do.
Yeah, happy to do that. So the Lore Foundation is a private foundation that works in the rural Mountain West to improve quality of life. And the way that we do that is in this hyper-local way. So what we really want are ideas from people that are on the ground living in a place like Lander. To make life better. We want to make Lander a better place live. And so we gather, you know, ideas and solutions from the community and fund those or connect those people to other people in the community that are working on a similar project and just kind of helping to make it a better place.
Facilitating that growth.
And yes.
The last time you were on here, we chatted about how it's not just businesses that you guys help, but individuals as well. So just anyone or any entity with a good idea that helps the community, you guys are there to possibly help them.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's dive into some of the success stories and some of the like long-term observations you've had about some of the projects that you guys were involved with in the past.
Yeah. So this past year, 2022, we just saw a lot of growth, and I don't have the specific numbers, but it, you know, was 30 something grants that we put into the community.
And I
don't have the dollar amount either, but it was a lot. And so from my perspective, we've been here for almost 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And what I am seeing is a lot of growth in the community. I'm seeing momentum, and I'm seeing like people who are excited to dive into projects.
Beautification of the area too. You can't not notice that.
Yeah, exactly. Like the mural on Main Street and the bike racks on Main Street. And I think that really shows how when we pull together as a community, the things that we can do. And when you just have a little bit of help, none of these grants have been huge.
Right.
They've all been pretty small. And so a little bit can go a long way. And the thing that I'm also seeing is the way that our community is pulling together. Like, we have all these nonprofits. Lander knows that. We've got lots of them. And a lot of them are doing really similar things. And I've had a lot of conversations over the summer and fall with these different groups that are doing similar things. And they're all starting to talk to each other now.
And that's huge. I mean, facilitating that communication, and just getting everyone on the same page.
Yeah. And it really felt like we just needed somebody to invite them. Somebody without a stake in the game,
to invite them
to the table.
With our powers combined
kind of thing. And I don't have an agenda, so it's easy for me to say, hey, come sit down with us and let's talk this through.
And then sometimes it does take that outside part, like, hey, it's kind of silly that we're not all just in the same room when we're deciding all of these things, talking about events throughout the, because I mean, that's the other thing to consider too is, the summer here, now that I work in the news industry the last 2 years, it is busy. There are a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. So like you guys are doing with Lore, facilitating that conversation, maybe combining some of those events or scheduling them and having logistics behind it.
Yeah, exactly. And making sure, like the other part of that is making sure that the whole community is involved, that we're inviting everybody to things, and so that things don't become, you know, exclusive.
Right. That is no one intends to do that, right. But it's intrinsic to small towns for stuff, yes, like that to happen, where someone gets offended because they weren't a part of this decision. And like, I should have been a part of that decision, but
yeah.
Yeah. Who knows the number of reasons why it could have not happened or happened. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We just want to bring everybody together.
What were some of the examples that you can think of that you saw from like maybe one of the long-term projects that you guys were working on?
Yeah.
Of how it started and then what it's been like since.
Yeah. So I think one of the long-term projects has been the middle school mountain bike fleet project.
Yeah. Tell us more about, as I just saw that post, I used to work at the middle school. So mm-hmm. I know Chris and Bo and them, what was going on with that?
Yeah. So I think that our PE teachers at the Lander Middle School are pretty incredible, mm-hmm. and they think outside of the box. And I have a middle schooler, so I've kind of experienced it from that side of it. My kid coming home and saying, yeah, we went fly fishing in PE today and we filleted a fish, and just things that are different and interesting and exciting. For me, as someone who grew up with the traditional, you know, like climb a rope to the ceiling sort
of
PE.
And hope for the best.
Yes, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
And so they wanted, we would have to ask them specifically. I think they might have seen a program similar somewhere else. But they got this idea that, like, you know, we have kids who are not necessarily interested in team sports. Like, that is not their thing.
Right.
And we live in a place where there's lots of trails, and more trails are being built all the time. And it's expensive to buy a bike.
Yeah.
You know, so if you are a kid who is not into team sports and would be interested in something like mountain biking, but you don't have the resources, or your parents aren't interested in mm-hmm. it, so they're not going to take the time mm-hmm. to take you and teach you, why not do it in PE at the middle school?
Exactly.
Right? And so they got together with the Lander Cycling Club, and the Lander Cycling Club came to us, and it took a long time because bikes were in short supply for quite a while. COVID and all the supply chain issues.
Think about that.
Yeah. And so they got dropped off a couple of weeks before school started. I think it was in August that the bikes finally arrived, and helmets and all of those things. And so now the three PE teachers get to teach our kids how to bike and how to take care of a bike, you know, like just the like basic maintenance, how to change a tire and those kinds of things that give you a real sense of empowerment. And a bike can take you anywhere.
And it combines that physical education aspect of it mm-hmm. too. And I know not as much with cycling, but with climbing, I've heard a number of instances where kids who had no interest in team sports but still wanted to be part of a community needed that individualistic sport that they could still express themselves through, really attached to climbing. And mm-hmm. I know cycling's probably the same kind of thing too. I mean, even though you're doing it by yourself, sometimes you're with groups or, like I said, there's a community that's involved.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so now we have, for those kids, we've got this outlet for them, this thing they can be a part of.
So that's a huge one. And then you guys are also involved with the mental health themed exhibition taking place at the Leonard Art Center, correct?
Yeah, we are. We're sponsoring that event. And for me, this seems like a really important art show topic, mm-hmm, conversation mm-hmm. starter. For our community and Wyoming as a whole, right? But, you know, Lander specifically, because mental health is such an issue. There's still such a stigma. It's hard to get help sometimes. Mm-hmm. It's hard for people to ask for help sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it was really important to be a part of this show, and that it is for those of you that don't know, the art show at the Lander Art Center coming up is called Reflection, The Art of Being. And the idea is that all of us can participate. It is not just for those of us that would consider ourselves an artist or
not.
It's for anybody. If you have, you know, I might submit a poem. I haven't decided that if I'm going to do that or not.
Because, well, something you might not know too is I'll be doing stand-up for that event. I'll be doing kind of like a one-man showy kind of talk and dialogue, comedic, based on mental health. And
yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
So that's the point, is that it's all mediums, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just like your pottery and your paintings, which are welcome also, but it's like open to everybody. And what has been your experience with mental health? Let's talk about it. Let's, you know.
And talk about the process. That was something that Oakley Boycott, the outreach coordinator for the Art Center, and I chatted about on Mental Health Monday, the coffee time segment that aired yesterday. And that was, like we said, you don't have to be a big artist. Sometimes just the process is the focus on mental health. So you may only have a first draft of something that you never even finished. That in itself tells the story of the mental health and maybe some of the struggles you face in terms of not being able to complete tasks, but it's still getting that first step out there. Right. That's the accomplishment in itself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And like I think for those of us who've struggled with mental health issues, there's a lot of shame that can be involved in that. Mm-hmm. And just what a amazing way to like start breaking down those barriers, that like it's not a shameful thing.
Communicating and having that dialogue. Yep. And that's what I mean. I love doing it through stand-up. Some people say comedy is a coping mechanism. I don't even think of it as coping. I just think that's how some people filter things.
Right.
You know, I think that's just how some people see the world. They don't want to take it too serious, even if it's something that should be taken very seriously. But that my goal with doing like comedy or other folks with doing poetry is just normalizing that those conversations can and should be had, and just talking about it. It doesn't have to be this huge thing that you've built up in your head. It's just talk about
it. It's just talk about it. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
And it is always astounding how quickly people open up around you when you're able to talk about those things in a way that's, one, not, I hate this term, but it's the only way I can word it right now. No, you don't want to sound like a pity party, you know, when you're talking about these things, but you also want people to know where you're coming from.
Right.
And if you learn how to communicate it that way, it's amazing how quickly people just start opening up and sharing their stories. And they're like, oh, wow, if they can do it, I can do it. And you don't have to go into this little spiral. You
know? Right. Yeah. I've had that same experience where people just open up. And generally, like, it's been, you know, reading my poetry or, you know, different things that I've written. Oh, she did that.
I can do it too.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. That's the way it should be. No one should feel bad about being that person that's following in someone else's footsteps when we're having these kind of important conversations. And circling back to Lore Foundation, it's amazing that you guys are supporting that at the Lander Arts. And so we thank you for that as well. What are we looking at going into for 2023?
I am really looking forward to the ideas that are coming from the community. Because like I said, I am really feeling this like momentum and excitement about making Lander a better place to live. So I can't share anything yet because nothing's official, but I will be back to share details once we get things finalized.
So exciting stuff in the works. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Was there anything else, though, that you want our listeners to know? I know the last time we talked, the Lore Foundation is not going to be here in Lander for much longer, right? So there is a kind of a limited amount of time that we can utilize this service.
Yeah, we've got about 2.5 more years. So get your ideas in. Other people are doing it. Let's like come together as a community and continue to make this place the best it can be.
I love it. Well, Amy, thanks again for coming in and filling us in on all of that today. We look forward to having you back on the show.
Look forward to coming back.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about some of the stuff that you guys have in store for the community. What's the best way for people to follow what you guys are doing?
Yeah, so you can email me at Amy, A-M-I, at lorefoundation.org. You can also find us on Facebook. It's the Lander Lore Foundation Facebook page. Those are the best ways.
Perfect. Well, once again, thank you for taking the time to come in and chat with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, more coffee time after a quick word from our sponsors.